Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today's as your host, Evan Satter. I'm joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSatter. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. This is for our Locked On Suns Twitter page. And now we're right at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support over there is always appreciated, as always. You're the first time guest on the show today on Locked On Suns. And Brendan, I'll give you the floor to introduce him.
How should we introduce you, man? Are we sworn to secrecy? We have to call you by your pseudonym. What do you want us to introduce you as? You take the floor.
You can just call me Brandon. I run Arizona Sports Zone on Twitter, for those of you guys that follow me. I'm super excited to be on here. You know, this is on my short list of pods in my rotation, so just excited to talk some draft with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. It's always fun. We appreciate that the Brightside staff has some new faces. It's been awesome having you contribute here and there. Your draft guide is very handy. Not too bulky, which I appreciate. Some of these things that people send around have thousands of words in them, and it's like, well, I'm not going to read all of that. So I appreciate that you put the work in, but yours is very condensed. So let's dive right in. Evan, you wanted to start with Kyra Lewis Jr., I believe, the point guard out of Alabama. We're going to talk three prospects who we haven't really hit on too much. We've gone through a lot of the same names pretty often. We tried to go through some of the names the Suns might keep a look at, some guys that fit the mold that James Jones established last summer. But Evan, I'll give you the floor because you said that you've watched Kyra a little bit more lately, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to dive in on him.
Yeah, I'm really not falling in love is the right word to say, but I'm really getting higher on Kyra Lewis because the more I watch him and the more boxes he checks off, at least from a James Jones standpoint, he averaged 19 points, 5 assists per game, almost 37% from three. He was one of only two point guards in this draft class to average at least the shooting splits of 46, 36, and 80, just an elite efficiency clip, and that was him and Tyrese Haliburton this past year. So I think he's flying under the radar a little bit. He's my third overall point guard in this draft class behind Haliburton and behind Killian Hayes. And the more you watch him, I know he's a little undersized like Kobe White was this past year, 6'3", only 165. But I think there's a chance that he could really develop in a spark plug role off the bench right away for the Suns after a year or two of seasoning behind Ricky Rubio. I actually really like his fit alongside Devin Booker.
How about you, Brandon? I know he's your fifth point guard on your board. But 15 or 12, what is it? 12 overall. So give us a little bit about your thoughts on Kyra, a guy who was really young as a freshman, but improved by quite a bit in his second season at Alabama.
Yeah. So I'm right with Evan. The more I've watched, the more I've grown to like his game. You know, he really took a leap forward this year. Last year, he actually would have not been eligible for the draft. That's how young he was as a freshman. So, he's just a very uniquely talented scorer. He kind of reminds me of De'Aaron Fox in transition, just blazing speed. You pretty much stand no chance of stopping this guy when he has the ball in transition. So, like Evan was alluding to, someone that James Jones would like because he can create for himself and others. Pretty good, like, shot IQ as well. So he's not making a ton of mistakes or playing too fast. Defensively, he really tries and, you know, he does have a little bit of a smaller frame and he's going to need to add strength at the next level. But I think there's some potential there for him to guard ones and twos. But I think next to Booker, you know, it'd be a very dynamic offensive backcourt.
I think one of the things that from a Suns standpoint stands out to me with Kyra is, you know, it's impossible to really compare anybody to Ricky Rubio because his style is so unique. And he has such a strange skill set. I think Kyra's a little bit better of a shooter and, you know, his offensive game, his own self-creation is better than Rubio's was when Rubio was 18, 19 years old. But I think the ability to play in transition, the ability to grab a rebound and go on the fast break, the ability to play pick and roll really well, his passing vision and his strength on passes, like he's a really accurate passer off the live dribble. Some of that stuff is similar to Ricky, which I think, you know, that doesn't, you know, Ty Jerome's really nothing like Ricky Rubio. So, you know, it's not to say that they only want one type of point guard, but just going back and watching Kyra and thinking about the Suns specifically this morning, I was struck by that Similarly on defense, like he's a guy I think who's going to be a pretty big steals threat in the NBA. He jumped from 1.5% on those to 2.5% of opponent possessions where he got a steal as a sophomore. So he improved there. Even though he was, you know, maybe because he was playing off ball a little more defensively, he was able to get in the passing lanes. But he's just one of these guys you watch, and it's like Alabama was a little bit of a, I mean, they weren't a very good team, but he just looks so comfortable on a basketball court. Like whether it's grabbing a rebound and just knowing what to do once he gets the ball and igniting that fast break, or turning a steal into a fast break, running point guard in the half, or running a pick and roll in the half court. Just a lot of things that for a 19-year-old kid, he just has a smoothness to his game that you don't see very often, especially on a bad team like that. So he's just a guy that I think, despite his age, I could actually see contributing, or at least being able to play on an NBA court fairly easily. I think he was benefited by going to school so young. But Brandon, what do you think about that? Do you think, as far as playability, I do think that's something that James Jones tends to value. Do you think that he's a guy who could at least be like a backup or a fourth guard in his first couple seasons in the league?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think that's kind of a luxury they have with Ricky Rubio. Like no matter like which point guard they take, they're going to have some time to kind of sit back and develop in the offense. And I think Lewis is actually ready to, you know, step in for 15 to 20 minutes a night, and, you know, he's not going to kill you. And, you know, that's something that goes a long way with some of the backup guard play we've seen this past season. And the thing I like about him a lot is he was in the 85th percentile in spot ups. So, you know, he can play off the ball. So you can run him with Booker as well. And he's not going to like take away from his playmaking. So, in fact, I think it's probably better for him to play with another playmaker to kind of take some of that pressure off of him early. But he can also, he has like the tools to lead a second unit as kind of the engine, little spark plug, and hopefully develops into your long-term starter.
I think one intriguing point I wanted to bring up here, just as far as your big board goes, Brandon, because like Brandon mentioned at the top of the show, you have Kyra a little bit lower than some of these other point guards. I'm a little lower on a player like Cole Anthony. What do you think is the difference between those two guys? Because I know they're close on your board there. I'm not going to give it away for the bright side risk that's coming out here very soon, but very close, separated on the big board. I like Kyra a little bit more. What do you think about those two guys head-to-head? Because I the more I watch Kyra, the more I just think that he might be more of a smoother transition to the NBA. Won't really be a lot of growing pain, so to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely fair. It really just depends on what kind of player you're looking to add. Like, so Cole Anthony is more of a, I think he has a little bit of a higher ceiling just because of his ability to shoot off the dribble. He has like deep range, and, you know, he was my number one prospect coming into this year. Obviously disappointed tremendously at UNC, but a lot of that kind of had to do with like the team context there. He had virtually like no spacing to work with, and really bad team overall. So I think just playing with more spacing at the NBA level and just a role where he can be more comfortable, he's going to add some, you know, scoring ability and, you know, floor spacing. He's not really a true point guard, and that's kind of the one, like, I'm, the margin between him and Kyra for me is razor thin. Like, I'm flipping on it almost every day now, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, those two are very interesting in their own respects. So I would not, if they took Kyra over Cole, I would have no qualms.
Okay, real quick, Evan, I know we're not doing a big board right now, but you said that Halliburton and Kyra were the two top point guards for you and Killian Hayes. What about LaMelo Ball?
Yeah, LaMelo is definitely up there. I'm just, as far as realistic targets, I just feel like LaMelo overall, he's probably going to be like a top three pick at the end there. So
you were saying with the Suns specifically?
Yeah, with the Suns specifically. Okay. I think LaMelo was with the hype train alone. I like him when I watch him, but I just, unless the Suns shock us and they got lottery luck and get a top three pick, LaMelo is kind of out of sight, out of mind for now for me.
Okay, I thought you were like saying generally, and I was like, what? What is going on? Okay, no, that makes much more sense. All right, let's talk about another guy in the lottery who we haven't talked about much yet on our show with Brandon here on the wing. Let's move to the wing, and then we'll finish up the show with big man, go across the positional spectrum here. But really quick, before we do that, a reminder to follow us and subscribe. Whatever platform you're on, we are there right along with you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, probably moving maybe around July 1st to daily again because the Suns are playing basketball, and that's really exciting. We want to talk to you about that, what the games look like, more stuff like this as we get closer to whatever the next few months are going to be. Pretty insane games right into the off season and then right back into the regular season all over again. So join us, subscribe, follow, be there with us to have the conversation, have some fun, get back into sports. Be right back. The next guy we want to talk about with Brandon is Isaac Okoro, which is kind of weird, honestly, that we haven't talked about him that much, Evan, because he's been like a top 10, if not higher guy for most people for the majority of this season. And it's just not somebody we've spent a lot of time on. So I think it's time that we do that. Brandon, he is 13th overall on your board and the top. You have him put in as a small forward. I think wings are a little bit kind of, you could fudge it here and there, depending on what position you think they're going to play in the NBA. I think he's pretty mm-hmm. versatile player, but just because we haven't hit on him much, I'll give you the floor. Like what is kind of the read, the highlight, the bullet points on Isaac Okoro, especially as it relates to how he might fit in here in Phoenix?
Gotcha. So this is actually a good, segue sort of to like plug your guys' last episode with Sam, just kind of the adding the versatility on the wing with Ayton. You know, if you're big into like the whole Bridges and Oubre, starting with DeAndre, which, you know, I'm a big proponent of that, then Okoro fits right in. He's just sort of a glue guy on offense, just jack of all trades, super high IQ basketball player, and just, you know, offensively there are some concerns. He doesn't have much creation chops for himself, but he's actually a very underrated passer. I think one of the best passers like on the wing outside of probably Denny in this draft. So, you know, there's definitely some limitations with him offensively, but if in the right program, you know, I think he could develop his jumper. He's got solid footwork, which is a positive indicator for his shooting. And he'll show some flashes where you're just like, yeah, I think this guy might be able to shoot. And that's his biggest swing skill. If he can just become an average shooter and just make the defense respect him out there, I think he could be just a, you know, high level Swiss Army knife type that really helps the versatility on both ends and just adds to the defense in a positive way.
One thing that worries me with the Okoro, because I definitely like his defense. I like you mentioned, Brandon, his high IQ play on both ends, but we know what James Jones, he really values shooting, and Okoro had definitely struggled this past year with shooting at Auburn, 28.6% on threes, not really much in his game right now. Very good inside the arc, though, 60%, very good cutter, like we saw at McHale this past year, knows how to get around the rim. But with the Suns, we see how they value the shooting aspect, at least in one draft that James Jones has done so far with Cam Johnson, Ty Jerome. Does that worry you as far as Okoro's fit into the system?
Yeah, definitely. It's a concern. It's a fair concern to have, just because, especially next to DeAndre, and, you know, you're going to need someone that can shoot at the four, and especially with the way they play. So that's kind of the main thing holding me back from having him higher, because I love him as a player, and just the theoretical fit seems nice if he can learn how to shoot. But that's also a big investment, and the Suns don't have the best track record of developing shooters. So that's kind of where I'm kind of lower on him. The Sun specifically.
It is really interesting because, like, from my perspective, he fits well with what they try to do because of what you said. Like, he makes up for not being able to shoot pretty well, you know. Like, he is a good cutter, he's a smart cutter, he moves all the time without the ball in his hands, and like the numbers feel almost a little bit misleading with him from a playmaking perspective. Not to say that he's a guy who's going to be like a point forward, but, you know, he had almost as many turnovers as assists. But I actually think, like, he can attack closeouts, he can pass the ball, you know, when the rotation happens in front of him on the floor. Like, I don't think he's just this black hole of turnovers like his numbers might indicate. I just think the ball wasn't in his hands a lot, which is understandable. They had, you know, they play small at Auburn, and the ball moves around pretty well. It's not like they just have one guy like Jared Harper. This year they played a little different. So I think he could fit on offense, but he doesn't shoot, and we know how much James Jones values that. On the other hand, like, defensively, to me, it's the exact type of guy that I think the Suns need to think about adding if they do want to commit to more of a small identity. Because last year, even with McHale and Kelly, They just were, Kelly was like a lot of the time, especially when Ayton was out, the only real like dynamic athlete on the floor ever. And you just can't win a lot of games in the NBA right now if that's how your roster looks. And Okoro, like in the open floor, is actually pretty explosive, even though he's big. So he has that athleticism. He has that, he's a pretty good offensive rebounder. Like he uses the athleticism well. And he's strong, like he's big already, and he's a true freshman. So he's going to get bigger and be able to use that strength functionally as he gets older, you would assume. So that type of dynamism that Okoro brought to the floor as a freshman already, like I think the Suns could really benefit from that. So it is interesting where it's like, is James Jones going to be the type of GM where he sticks to what his vision of something is and really has a type, or is he going to be adaptable to what the team shows him that it needs? You know, I don't think we really know that because he built the roster and we've only seen one season. This second off season is where the adjustments come in. So I don't think I'm out on them looking at Okoro, but he's definitely not ideally their type. But that said, like he is going to be probably right around the range that the Suns are picking. But what do you guys think about, this is another thing, because a lot of the guys we've focused on, Evan, have been older because that's what the Suns did in last year's draft. But I guess, Brandon, and then Evan, what about the idea of them taking a really young guy like this? I mean, he's not super young for a freshman, but he is a freshman, and they didn't take any freshmen last year.
Yeah, so I think this draft's going to kind of give us a good indicator of what's to come, because obviously we only have one draft to go off of with them taking, you know, Cam and Ty, just wanting instant impact players. So I would feel a little bit more comfortable with them taking a younger player now than I would a year ago, just because I think they have a better foundation in place. And I think Monty can do a much better job of developing young talent. Okoro's, I think, especially defensively, he'll be ready to go like right away and make an impact. He can guard, I think he'll guard 2 through 4 right away. With potential to guard some ones like situationally. So just adding to the defensive versatility, I think that's where he can make his impact right away. But at the same time, like you mentioned, Brendan, he's still pretty young and just a really raw prospect that you kind of get to mold one way or another, which I know Suns fans will kind of be terrified of that with some of the past players that have fit that description. But I do think that he could find a useful role right away. And then, you know, hopefully you can develop him into something more than that.
Yeah, I'm right there with Brandon on that. I think he makes a lot of good points just about, I think this year compared to last year, they have a better chance to sort of swing the fences on a younger prospect. And you see the rotation already. I think their starting five is already intact with Rubio, Booker, Bridges, Oubre, and Ayton. And you have the bench with Cam Johnson, Aaron Baines, if you re-sign him, Frank Kaminsky, if they re-sign him on his team option. Pretty much your bench is already filled out there. You have an 8-man rotation already. If you want to plug in a rookie into a 10, 15 minute per game role, I think that makes a little bit of sense to help them develop along at a slower pace. And maybe Okoro does fit that mold as being a right away impactful player on a short minutes little role, because I think he does make sense in the aspect of if he needs someone to fill this role, Okoro can do that. And I feel like for even if it's Okoro or any other younger prospect in this draft, I feel like they have more of a luxury this year because they won't be pressed in the heavy duty that we've seen over the last couple of years.
You just think like the impact that Javon Carter was able to have. Like, I know that's a weird comparison to make, but they just needed a player who was going to just be a dog defensively, create havoc. And even with Carter's inconsistency, like he shot well when it was all said and done, but nobody trusted him to nail threes. I think, you know, just imagining Okoro in that role, I think you could see it. And that maybe not a guy who's going to initiate the offense, but Carter really couldn't do that either. And the Suns, I mean, time and again, it felt like Carter was probably the guy out of that backup guard situation that was most consistent, even though he wasn't very consistent. So, you know, studying that role while also getting a guy in there who can fit into the small ball wing lineup and that rotation, I think that's, I don't know. I really think he would be a good pick. It remains to be seen if he's, you know, James Jones, quote unquote type. And we just don't know yet. But the last question I had about this guy, and Brandon, I want to ask you is, who would be your comp? Because we see players like this every year in the draft, whether it's like a Zaire Smith, Matisse Thybulle, I guess, kind of fits in here. The guys who are more special on defense, but pretty raw everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Thybulle's a little more polished because he was older, but who does he remind you of?
So I would say sort of like kind of with his passing ability and just like his Swiss Army knife type, I could see a little bit of like Andre Iguodala. Like that's like a very high end outcome for him. A little bit less, like obviously not as polished offensively, Liggy, but I can see that being like a favorable outcome. At his floor, sort of like a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, where he'll bring you value defensively and he'll be in your rotation, but he's not going to be anything special.
I think that's a really good way to go about it, because obviously the shooting's a big question. Defensively, it could be a situation with the Cora where he right away helps you win a lot of games. But we'll dive into our next player on the show, Denny Avdija, the international prospect from Israel who has a lot of top 10 buzz if he does fit in the Suns in a 3-4 kind of mold. We're going to dive into that here in just a second, but our first sponsor of this segment, diving into it, will be Rock Auto. With the ever-increased numbers of makes and models, it is now possible to stock up all your parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often plenish to seeming intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer? One reason to repair and maintain your car is to save money. And you can do so with rockauto.com. We can spend 30, 50, or 100% on auto parts and save, really, if you're doing a fuel pump assembly, for example, at the competitors, it's around $350. With Rock Auto, it's only $215. So you save a lot of money there with Rock Auto. And chain stores at different tier price. So Rock Auto is all in one price frame to keep the money in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. And if you go to RockAuto.com, the shop for auto and body parts, hundreds of manufacturers, they have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for you. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and at the same time, they have professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend twice as much money on the parts when you can do it over at Rock Auto? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box and see what they know. Write Locked On, LOCKEDON, in their How'd You Hear About Us box so you know we sent you. It's an amazing selection with reliably low price, all the parts you ever will need at rockauto.com.
Want to also tell you about Blinkist, the most useful app on my phone, because it can be hard to find time to sit down, read, learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development or learn. It's just, as we get into our normal routines again, stuff like this is just increasingly important. You don't get to have the time to read an entire book or watch an entire TV show or whatever, so you need to condense it down. There's an incredible app that solves that problem. And once again, it is called Blinkist. Blinkist is super unique. It works on your phone, tablet, or web browser, and it takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know info from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. 12 million people are using Blinkist already, taking advantage of its massive, growing library of self-help, business, health, and even history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers, as well as the classics that you may be always meant to read but never could find the time to do so. I use Blinkist when I'm out in the car, traveling, not so much right now, but making breakfast, working out, walking the dog. That's honestly the majority of my podcast and audiobook time is when I'm walking the dog. I love Blinkist, their selection as well, because the book that I keep telling you guys about, The Sports Gene, Inside the Science of Extraordinary Athletic Performance by David Epstein. But check it out. They have all of the latest bestsellers. Anything that you've heard about recently, I'm sure Blinkist has it. Their library is huge. They get them up pretty quickly. And again, condensed all into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to on your mobile device. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to that massive library of condensed nonfiction titles. All the books you could want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Locked On Suns audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and then save 25% on your first subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% on that first subscription, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. All right, last guy on our list for today going to the front court here is Denny Avdija from Israel. He is a guy who has kind of the same way, been a guy who's lingered in that top 10 lottery area for most of the year, but Evan and I just haven't talked about him a ton. Fairly young, fairly versatile. We do know that between Monty Williams and James Jones, these kind of playmaking forward types appeal to them. They went out and got Frank Kaminsky. They traded for Dario Saric. So I think they do see the value of a player like this in their system, Brandon, but it would be pretty different. It would be doubling down on the Saric type of power forward option rather than going smaller. And I think this guy is a little bit of a project. So kind of two things going in the negative category for him, but what are the pros of Denny here?
So I like that you alluded to Dario, because I was actually going to mention he's sort of, think of like just a faster, better, like I wouldn't say better yet, but projects to be a better decision-making type of Dario. He's someone that he can grab a rebound and lead transition, just be a second engine for the offense. He moves really well in a straight line, and he has quick reflexes. So he's someone that I think just his passing ability at his size, along with his ball handling, can really create some like mismatches defensively. Obviously, there's some issues with his shot. You know, his free throw and 3-point numbers are pretty worrisome. But I do buy the mechanics. That's one thing. Like if you're trying to project his shot going forward, he's someone that I think he'll shoot, but I'm not sure if he's ever going to get to the point where he's like a consistent shooter. So that's an interesting thing that I'll be following along wherever he ends up. So you know, his defense, like I said, just like I don't think he's gonna be able to guard like bigger fours or like post players, just because he's not strong enough yet, and he's also not quick enough to really guard like ones and twos on the perimeter. So he won't be a complete liability on that end, but there's definitely some question marks that limit team building and the ceiling of the defense.
Ironically enough, when you look at Denny's profile, he played for Maccabi Tel Aviv, which is the same place that Dragan Bender was in 2016. I know they're a little bit different prospects, Brandon, but if for those wondering, and maybe they have a little bit of trauma from what happened with Dragan Bender and that experiment that went wrong, what can you tell them about the difference between Dragan Bender and Denny, and why you think Denny could be a little bit better of a translator to the NBA?
That's a great question. I would say just confidence in general. This guy is like one of the most confident players you'll see. Like he can miss five shots in a row and he's still going to shoot that sixth shot. Like he's made the first five before that. So I think just he kind of plays a little bit of like a swagger too. So that's the main differentiator for me. And, you know, obviously European teams are a little bit different with how their system works. So he really had kind of limited minutes, but he was much more productive than Dragan ever was. And he was also named the FIBA Europe Under 20 Championship MVP back in 2019 for Israel. And so I think there's just a little bit more, he's proven himself more than Dragan. He's definitely still a project, but not anywhere near as raw as Dragan was.
It's really, really weird to me and kind of concerning. I mean, very concerning that he's been such a terrible free throw shooter forever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just really like you just don't see a guy who is so fluid in other aspects of his game be unable to make free throws like that. Like you typically would associate that with like a DeAndre Jordan type of guy, and Dwight Howard, not a guy who is a pretty good finisher and can create his own shot inside and has okay touch to just fall apart when he gets to the free throw line. And, you know, obviously you mentioned it at the top, like it just really inhibits your confidence that this guy could become a good 3-point shooter, because that just doesn't happen, right? Like guys don't miss half their free throws, but make 40% of their threes. That combination is pretty much impossible to find in NBA history. So I do think that's another minus for him when it comes to the Suns. Like it just doesn't feel like this is the type of guy that the Suns would want to take a chance on. It's a lot of things that they don't seem to be prioritizing right now. He's going to take a little while to develop. He is not a very good shooter. He kind of goes with the identity that worked poorly for them this year versus the one that worked well for them. What would you say is the ceiling for Denny Brandon? Like, if you're painting a situation for him where he develops, what does that look like? What stuff does he get better at that's like a realistic goal for him? And what type of system would he function best in?
So just, I think he's someone that could help, like, at a favorable outcome for him, just kind of help elevate the rest of the team. I don't think he'll be a building block, but he's someone that just enhances the offense as a, like I said earlier, just a second engine that he can make stuff happen on his own and really play make and do a little bit of everything at a high level. I'm not sure he'll ever become like an elite shooter, but in order for him to kind of hit that, he has to at least be a solid one and make defenses respect him, or his playmaking gets limited from just a spacing perspective. So, you know, he's someone, I'm not sure I love the fit just because of those concerns in Phoenix, but I could see him in the right situation really thriving.
Brandon, I'll start off with you on this one, then I'll go back to Brandon, because obviously the fit with anyone in the front court has to look at DeAndre and how you fit with him. And I'm really concerned about the fit with Denny and DeAndre, because it'd be a lot more pressure on Aiden. I don't see Denny being a good defender on the next level. It'd almost be like Dario, so to say, a little more athletic Dario, like you mentioned earlier in the show, Brandon. But I wanted to ask you first, Brandon, do you believe in the possibility, if they do get, let's say, Denny in like that 10 or in that late lottery where injury slips a little bit, do you buy into that possibility or not?
The possibility of him working with Aiden? I don't think so. I mean, I just think, yeah, like you said, I think we learned it's not just about like the player that you put next to DeAndre. I think we learned a lot about the style that you want to play when you have DeAndre Ayton on the floor for you at center. And that it's a matter of who fits into that, you know, and I just don't think Denny really does. Not that he couldn't, but again, it's also back to the idea, like, you're going to have Devin Booker on the floor for a lot of minutes every night, right? Of course. So you don't want to, you kind of want your one and your three and your four to be pretty good defensively. So you only have to hide one player. And if you're adding Denny into that as a lottery pick, somebody you want to give an opportunity to, that's another guy that you're going to have to adjust for defensively, because he's not really that rim protector you might want in that front court spot. And he's not even, you know, comparing him to guys like a Šarić type, like, he's not as strong as that either. Dario, I mean, he's older. He's had more time to develop his body, but he is a credible, like, post defender, and he can rotate into the lane and at least cause guys to adjust their shot. Then he doesn't really do that stuff as far as I've seen. So all of those things just make me think he doesn't really fit how you want to play, even if, you know, size wise and athleticism wise, maybe he is somebody you could convince yourself of. I just think you're going to have to protect him a little bit. He's not going to make up for anybody else's mistakes. And at that point, it's like, you know, is he really worth doing that? I think there's other ways to spend that roster spot, spend this draft pick that just fit better with what this team already showed itself to be good at. But how about you, Brandon?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think with him, you kind of need him to hit like one of his high-end outcomes for him to actually be a good fit next to DeAndre, whereas guys like Okoro or someone we haven't talked about, but Devin Vassell, those two guys would kind of add to the versatility. And even at their floors or like medians, they would still offer things that can help and like would fit with Ayton and like the group of boards they have. So it really comes down to if you're trying to take a swing, which like just on upside and bet on his work ethic, because that's one thing I will say as a positive about Denny from everything I've read about him and heard about him. He works really hard and along with the confidence and competitiveness, like those are some front offices will just bet on that. And I could see him doing really well in like the Zoom interviews and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if he'll be available when Phoenix is picking at 10, but if he is, I think there could be some better options on the board for them.
So you sent me your draft guide, like I said, at the beginning of the show, which I appreciate, but is he still 7 for you?
So he's sort of, my board's very fluid this year. This is like the least, I'm confident in like my tiers. I'm just not as confident with like the exact placement, which is kind of concerning this late in the season. Usually by now, that just kind of speaks about this draft. There's very in separation, but he's kind of trending towards like the 9 to 12-ish range for me right now. But yeah.
It's really interesting just because like we really went through the gamut on this one. Kyra Lewis, our first 7, talking through the point guard, who I think everyone's rising more and more on as we watch him. Isaac Okoro definitely is a player with a high floor. We don't know about the ceiling, so to say. And Denny is a player, international prospect, and you have to wonder if he develops or not in the Sun system. But Brent, anything else you want to hit on here as we have Brandon on the show?
No, thanks for coming on, man. And for our listeners, send us any other prospects you are thinking about who we haven't maybe talked about a ton. We're going to keep hitting the draft a little bit here as we rev up toward basketball again, but we do want to make sure we're giving enough time to the draft since it is going to come up on us here in a couple of months.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. If you have any prospects, send them in. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked on Suns. Appreciate everyone listening. And as always, we'll be back to you guys on Wednesday for our next episode.